This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. Tariffs are trade-restricting taxes. But among the main misconceptions about tariffs, the question of who actually pays those taxes seems to befuddle more than just the politicians who push them. Erica York of the Tax Foundation has written a new essay on tariffs, part of Cato's Defending Globalization series. We spoke yesterday. From the most basic economic perspective, explain what a tariff is.
A tariff is a tax. It's like an excise tax that applies to imports or goods that we purchase from foreign countries and bring into our country. And so a tariff is just a tax that's charged upon importation of a foreign good.
To hear politicians talk about tariffs, in particular, Donald Trump, when he talks about tariffs, he makes it sound like it is a tax that is imposed on the foreign entity, the entity that is selling us the thing on which we have imposed the tax. What does he not understand about that?
There could be a theoretical economic argument that the burden of a tariff falls on the foreign exporter, but that's typically not the argument that Trump or other politicians are making. They are misconstruing the idea and saying that this is a tax that we're charging to foreign companies to let them into our market. And that's just simply not how tariff works.
In defense of tariffs, I hear, and this is an anecdote, and maybe you can parse it a little bit, which is, hey, look, you don't like tariffs, Erica, but what you don't understand or you don't appreciate is that once upon a time, in the early part of the United States of America, our government was funded largely by tariffs. I guess the implication is that you need to show more respect to our founding fathers who viewed tariffs as necessary, if not out and out good. Help us understand what you think generally of that claim.
So if we look at tariffs in the early history of the United States, they're not mainly imposed for the reasons we see politicians talking about tariffs today. Today, the argument is, oh, we need to protect these companies. We need to insulate them from, you know, foreign competition. What we saw for tariffs in like the first act of the U.S. Congress was to generate revenue. So they weren't imposing tariffs so high as to try to block foreign goods from coming into the country. It was simply, we have a government. We need to have some revenue raised in order to have a government. And the easiest administrative way to do that is tariffs, charging a tax on the import of foreign goods, because we didn't have an economy like we do today, or, you know, the withholding system to easily tax people on their income hadn't been developed yet. And so it was simply, here's how we generate revenue for the government.
So administratively easier, meaning we lay this tax at a port when a large quantity of goods is coming in. Collect the tax, just more efficient.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Or administrative costs, ease of administration, because it is at that collection, that entry point.
Who benefits from tariffs? Obviously, in some cases, politicians who want to advance tariffs benefit somewhat, but from the actual laying and collecting of these taxes, who benefits?
Yeah, I think it's important to distinguish between the short-term beneficiaries and then what happens in the long run. So in the short run, a tariff essentially is redistributing income from consumers to the protected producers. So whether it's, you know, a tariff on steel, a tariff on consumer goods, a tariff on widgets, it's the domestic producer who gets a benefit from that tariff because they now can charge a higher price and still make their sales in the domestic market. So they see higher sales, they see higher profits. That's coming from U.S. consumers. So in the short run, they see a benefit. But in the long run, a tariff insulates them from the competitive forces that lead to innovation, lead to more productive methods of producing things. We don't see tariff protections conferring long-run benefits to those who are protected, because essentially what we see in past examples of tariffs in the economic literature as well is that the protected companies use those increased profits to increase returns to shareholders increase wages that are paid to top management, they're not funneling that into research and development or into capital expenditures to upgrade their existing equipment. And so it's this kind of short-term padding profits that tariffs result in.
One argument offered for tariffs is that they shrink the trade deficit. Can you help us understand, again, this is something well-known to economists, but to most of the rest of us, it's not really super intuitive about what trade deficits are, what influences them, and why they might matter or not matter.
Yeah, so there's this idea in economics that a tax on imports is a tax on exports. And to a non-economist, that sounds totally counterintuitive. There's a couple examples we can use to talk through why that is the case. And I think the easiest one to think through is what happens to the value of the US dollar when we impose a tariff. So US government slaps a tariff on imports. That makes imports more expensive. And so we reduce how much stuff we're importing. If we're not buying as much from abroad, that means we're not exchanging as many dollars for a foreign currency because we don't need that foreign currency to buy those foreign imports. The global supply of US dollars shrinks because we're not doing that exchange. And when the supply of the US dollar shrinks, the value of the US dollar goes up. When the dollar is more valuable, that makes it more difficult for exporters to sell on the foreign market because to foreigners now, things that are denominated in US dollars are more expensive. And so through that channel of currency appreciation, you do see reduced imports, but at the same time, you see reduced exports because of the changing value of the US dollar. So in that sense, a tax on imports becomes a tax on exports, and you don't fundamentally change the balance of trade. You reduce trade overall, both imports and exports. You're not really changing the balance between what we import and what we export.
This isn't strictly related, but it is at least adjacent to it, which is when the United States engages in imports and we import a lot of stuff. A large fraction of the stuff that we import is used by people who are going to eventually make things for export. And raising those prices harms some industries within the United States. I don't think you got into that directly in your essay, but it's certainly something we ought to think about when we talk about U.S. manufacturing and trying to boost U.S. exports.
I did cite one paper that looked at the recent 2018-2019 trade war and that exact channel, looking at how so many U.S. importers are also U.S. exporters because they're purchasing, you know, intermediate inputs or they're purchasing capital goods from other countries that they then use in their own production process, and then they export those things. And so this one particular paper found that the 2018-2019 trade war import tariffs were essentially equivalent to a 2% export tax on all U.S. exports through that channel of increasing the cost of inputs.
In a world like in the 1990s, when tariffs, for the most part, were falling, countries would maintain the ability to easily raise tariffs if necessary, giving yourself the opportunity to retaliate if needed with tariffs. What have we seen since then with respect to countries engaging in tariffs, essentially as sort of a trade weapon?
Yeah, I think the 2018-2019 trade war is a perfect illustration of that retaliation. When the U.S. imposed national security tariffs on imports of, you know, steel and aluminum from Europe, Europe responded in kind with retaliatory tariffs on U.S. exports of like iconic U.S. goods. Whiskey and Harley-Davidson motorcycles and Levi's blue jeans were hit with retaliatory tariffs abroad. Similar with the tariffs we imposed on China, U.S. agricultural exports were hit with tariffs in retaliation for the tariffs that we imposed on goods from China. And essentially, this kind of sets tariffs as tax policy apart from other types of tax policy, because, you know, if the U.S. increases, you know, the corporate tax rate or increases the individual income tax rates, like those have negative ramifications and those create deadweight loss in the U.S. economy. But they don't really invite retaliation from foreign countries. They are just a domestic tax policy. When we impose tariffs, that typically is met with retaliation for U.S. exports. So it just compounds the harm that we see that comes from the U.S. imposed tariffs.
In your essay for the Cato Institute's Defending Globalization series, You have a fairly interesting chart showing the radical decline of tariffs, especially in the latter half of the 20th century, and remaining fairly low with a very slight uptick only in the last few years. How seriously should we take these small increases in tariffs just in the last few years when things are generally so much better than they were in the first half of the 20th century and even further back?
I think it's a really troubling change of direction because, as you said, that chart is on a pretty steady decline for decades and decades. And that represented this consensus that, yes, open markets are good. We acknowledge that there are costs imposed on certain segments of the population that are subjected to, you know, competition. But overall, the benefits, the gains from trade from the macro perspective outweigh those costs. What we're seeing now with this increase in tariffs, it's a small uptick in terms of the overall average tariff rate, but I think it's really big in terms of the direction change. I'm worried that at least for the near term, that that direction change is kind of here to stay. Because if you look at what the Biden administration has done, they retained the vast majority of the increased tariffs that Trump imposed. They've maintained the trade war. It's at an essential standstill as far as tariffs go, but as far as non-tariff barriers to trade go, I mean, we're not seeing new free trade agreements. We're not seeing really big efforts to try to increase market access. It's not moving in a good direction. And if you look at what the Trump campaign is proposing, it's, you know, quadrupling down on this direction that trade policy took under the first Trump administration. So it's troubling.
Let's project off into the future a little bit. The United States, whoever is president, maintains this new direction with respect to tariffs. What ultimately does that mean for average people in the United States? What does it mean for the world's poor?
For the average person in the United States, it means you're going to see higher prices for the things that you want to buy. We already saw that with the 2018-2019 tariffs. The economic literature says, you know, unequivocally, those were borne out as higher costs for American consumers. We're just coming off, you know, really high inflation. No one likes inflation. I think everybody understands when prices are getting higher, I'm having to pay more of my money to get the same amount of stuff. That doesn't make me better off. That makes me poorer. That's the same thing that happens under tariffs. It costs more money to get the same stuff, or it means we're paying more money and we have even less choice. We have less access to a variety of goods that people like. So from the perspective of the average American, it means we're poorer. From the perspective of U.S. businesses, it means we're less innovative. We spend less on research and development. We're less competitive abroad if we're trying to sell things to foreign markets where companies there don't face the same import tariffs that companies in the United States face. So it creates a competitive disadvantage for U.S. businesses as well. It makes it harder for particularly farmers and ag producers to compete on the world stage because their products get slapped with retaliatory tariffs. So essentially, lower incomes, less productivity all around. And from the perspective of other countries, for the most part, it harms economies that are touched by the trade war. For some countries, it can create, you know, a third country benefit to the extent that trade that would otherwise be done, you know, by the U.S. gets diverted to someone else and they get to jump in on a market opportunity. But overall, the global effect is lower output and lower incomes.
Erica York is a senior economist and research director with the Tax Foundation's Center for Federal Tax Policy. Her essay appears in the Cato Institute series Defending Globalization. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast anywhere you please. And thank you for listening.